My name is Johnny Seifert. I am a traditional Orthodox Jew who loves the Jewish culture, Jewish food. You know, give me a fishbowl any day. Give me some pickled cucumbers. I love the family aspect. Friday night is very important to me. My great-great-uncle Harry was born in Krakow, Poland, and we have no record of what happened to him. So I want to go to Poland to find out about what happened to my Uncle Harry and to learn why now we are so strong and as a community we are so tight together. I'm Yisrael Chai. The Jews shall never die.
My name's Leanne Winneker. I want to go to Poland because I want to understand more about Jewish heritage and Jewish history, and I want to understand what my Jewish ancestors went through during the Holocaust. I know that I take everything in life for granted, including the little things like my bed or my shower, so I want to be able to appreciate everything more.
I was born in Poland in a city called Lodz, which is the second largest city in Poland. There were about 265,000 Jews. One morning, while I was still in bed, my father came to me and he said, you know, there's going to be a war on Germany. And he said he's got to run away because especially the Jewish young people will be the first ones to suffer under the Germans if they occupy the whole of Poland.
A ghetto was almost like a very big prison, which was bricked up and separated from the outside world. And in that ghetto, Jews were placed in houses in very cramped conditions, often 20 or so families in one room.
Ziggy Schipper describes what the ghetto he was in was like.
There was no running water, there was no toilet, there was no bathroom, nothing. And in the winter, when it's 20 below zero, to go downstairs to the toilet or to fetch water, I mean, you got to pump that water. But there was no choice.
When I went to Poland, I went to the Warsaw Ghetto, and all that remains is a wall and a monument with lots of names on it. And I found my name, Jochananen, which is similar to my real name, Jonathan.
In Birkenau, they have gas chambers and crematorium, and there they've gassed them, killed them, and cremated them there. People found sharp stones, and some people went to the dead bodies, cut up some flesh, roasted it over fire. People were eating each other in order to survive.
If you weren't sent to a death camp, you'd be sent to a concentration camp, such as in Sobibor or Auschwitz, where Ziggy Schipper was sent to.
When we came to the railway station, first thing I said to my grandmother, you know, I can't see any trains. She said, they're standing in front of you. I said, but they're cattle trucks. She says, that's all there is. And you know, they opened those shutters and they packed us in. There was no way you could sit down. You know, there was no room. I always had a problem. I could never tell people why. I did nothing. How can a boy of 12 hope people should die so he'll have more room to sit down? Every morning they used to open the shutters and take out dead bodies. So after 3 or 4 days, we had the room to sit down.
I walked through the gates of Auschwitz-Birkenau with my friends Leanne and Laurent. None of us could believe what we were seeing.
You'd seen so many photos of it before, and to actually be there was just so strange and so surreal. I was overwhelmed by like the scale of the camp. It would just go on and on and on. It was like never ending. I couldn't understand how massive it was.
And then in 1956, one of the greatest things in my life happened. You know, even liberation didn't mean, because I didn't know what liberation was. What happened then? My wife was pregnant. She went into labor, which was run by nuns. And at midnight, I was there. And the nun came over to me and presented me with a little bundle. And she said, this is yours. And I went over to my wife, and we both cried. And I said, at last, we've got something that is ours. And today, I've got 6 grandchildren, 1 great-grandson of 7 months old. And I can't tell you what a privileged life I had.
One day, a friend of mine came to me, hey, there's a girl from England. Would you like to meet a girl? I said, you know, I like girls. Naturally, I like to meet her. Gave me the phone number. I phoned up that girl. And I fell in love with her over the telephone. She had a pure English accent, and we made a date the next day. She was lovely. And we met in October 1950. I fell in love with her, and she was there. So we met in October. In November, we got engaged. And on the 31st of December 1950, we got married. And I'm still in love with my wife.
I always say, whatever you do, do not hate, because 95% of the reason was purely the hatred. Hate will ruin your life. You become so bitter, you hate yourself.
Remember the past, honor the memory, and shape the future. Take a moment to pause. Think. Remember, 6 million Jewish people died, but we're still here today.
Having been to Poland, it's kind of strengthened my kind of pride as a Jew, and the fact that I feel responsible to inspire other Jews to be proud and to stand up for being a Jew, not be ashamed of who we are. Kind of the fact that I know where we've come from, I feel like you can't throw away opportunities that you have, knowing that what your ancestors almost died for. They kind of died for us to be here now. So I feel like I'm not going to waste my life.
I believe that I have changed from the experience. I now appreciate everything in my life, family, beds, showers, like even small things like sofas, socks, just little things in life that I never really appreciated before. And I know that I'll never take anything for granted anymore.
This documentary has been produced and presented by Johnny Seifert.